You see, if you look at Jesus and what he's done for you and who he is, and he's opened up a relationship with you, you see what he's done through his word, and that's abiding in your heart, you're obeying him, you're going to rejoice. We rejoice in the very person of Jesus Christ. Rejoice in the Lord.
Welcome to this Wednesday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Vancouver Bible Fellowship in Vancouver, Washington. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Vancouver Bible Fellowship. And Greg, today you'll be talking about prayer. And I think it's safe to say that many of our listeners are in for a surprise, because what you'll be sharing from the Word of God about prayer is different than what many of us have heard or been taught.
Yes, it is, Dave. And what will be surprising is the simplicity of prayer. Our text is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're going to be looking at verses 16 through 18.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
The sphere of our joy is a walk with Jesus Christ, a reliance on him. And the source is the Spirit of God. But the focus of our rejoicing is actually on the Lord Jesus Christ himself and all that he has done. Rejoice in the Lord. He is the focus and source of our joy. It comes through the process of a relationship with him, as I have shared. And his Spirit will produce joy in our hearts when we are abiding, and his word is abiding in us, and we are obeying him. So then, Jesus is the sphere and source of our joy by his Spirit. But as we're going to see, joy comes in the context of having certain things abide in our hearts regarding Jesus. You see, we need to be thinking of certain things or we will not be joyful. We are to rejoice in the Lord. When you have a relationship and there are good things happening, there's a relationship, you understand, you rejoice in what happens with that person, the things of that person. We rejoice in relationships, and here we have a relationship with the living God. Now let me share some passages about joy, because it reveals that we rejoice in God himself and in his character and what he has done. When we rejoice in the Lord, we are allowing his word to abide in us about who he is and what he has done for us. And if we're resting in him and obeying him, we're going to rejoice. We can obey that command at that point. Let's go to the Psalms. I'm going to share a few Psalms. Start at Psalm 16, verse 11. Thou wilt make known to me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Now, skip back to Psalm 5, and while you do that, I want to read Nehemiah 8:10. Nehemiah tells them, do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's going to strengthen you. His joy in us that we experience. Psalm 5, verse 11. But let all who do what? Take refuge in thee be glad. Let them ever sing for joy, and mayest thou shelter them, that those who love thy name will exult in thee. For it is thou who dost bless the righteous man, and thou dost surround him with favor as a shield. Psalm 32, verse 10. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, loving kindness shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones. And shout for joy, all you who are upright in heart. Psalm 40, verse 16. Let all who seek thee rejoice. Let all who seek the Lord rejoice. So if you're not abiding in him, you're not seeking him. If his word isn't in your heart, you're not seeking him. If you're not obeying him, you're not seeking him. Let all who seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let those who love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. You see, if his word's abiding in you, his word is about him and what he's done for us and how much he loves us. Let him be magnified, the God of our salvation. Psalm 43, verse 3. Oh, send out thy light and thy truth, and let them lead me. And that's a great prayer. let them bring me to thy holy hill, to thy dwelling places, and I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. You see, when you are abiding in Jesus Christ and sin has been vanquished through confession, you are going to have joy. And when you sin and you confess it, you're going to have joy because you're restored and right with the Lord. God, my exceeding joy. Psalm 60, verse 5. Come and see the works of God, who is awesome in his deeds towards the sons of men. He turned the sea into dry land, then he passed through the river by foot. Then let us rejoice in him. Psalm 71, 23. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to thee and my soul, which thou hast redeemed. We've been saved by his grace. We are forgiven. Psalm 89, verse 13. Thou hast a strong arm. Thy hand is mighty. Thy right hand is exalted. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of thy throne. Loving kindness and truth go before us. Thinking about his character. It's abiding in his word. It's abiding in him. He says here, how blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. O Lord, they walk in the light of thy countenance, and in thy name they rejoice all the day. All day long. You see, if you look at Jesus and what he's done for you and who he is, and he's opened up a relationship with you, you see what he's done through his word, and that's abiding in your heart, you're obeying him, you're going to rejoice. We rejoice in the very person of Jesus Christ. Rejoice in the Lord. And we rejoice in the Lord in terms of what he has done for us. We rejoice in our new birth, our salvation. Psalm 95:1, let us sing for joy, let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Psalm 118:24, this is the day the Lord has made, let us rejoice in it, be glad. That's speaking of salvation, by the way, that's the context of Psalm 118. Let us rejoice and be glad. This is the day we've been saved by Jesus. Let us rejoice and be glad. He's no longer holding us accountable for our sins. He has paid the price for them. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved for you in heaven, who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice. If you're not rejoicing of your salvation, maybe you don't have a salvation to rejoice about. Or sin has really gotten in the way. Because if you recognize how sinful we are and the destiny that we had from a holy God, and you recognize what he did by sending his son Jesus to die for our sins, loving us so much, he took on human flesh and died for us. He bore our sins on the cross, and he died and rose from the dead. You're going to rejoice. You're going to thank him. You're going to praise him. It's interesting, the Lord Jesus rebukes his disciples in Luke chapter 10. He had given them power to go out, and demons were under their control in a sense, and he gave them power. And notice what he says to them concerning their joy. He corrects them regarding their joy, because we can be rejoicing over the wrong things at times. Look at Luke chapter 10, verse 17. And the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject in your name. And he said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall injure you. Nevertheless, look at this. Do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. Rejoice your names are recorded in heaven. Rejoice that you've been saved. And you know what? Not only do we rejoice in our Lord Jesus Christ, we rejoice in what he has done, we rejoice in what he is doing, even in the difficulties of this life. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you would be complete and lacking in nothing. James chapter 1. To the degree we share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing. It's an evidence of our true relationship with him. You see that in 1 Peter 4. We're to rejoice when we've been persecuted for righteousness' sake, for trusting in him. Jesus says, blessed are you when men cast insults at you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil on account of me. Not account of your sin, but account of him. He says, rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. We rejoice in Jesus Christ. We rejoice in what he has done for us. We rejoice in what he is doing. And we rejoice in what he will do. There's joy if you are truly focusing on those things. The Spirit of God will produce joy in your heart. And then you wonder, am I a believer if I haven't had joy? If you're a true believer, you will have joy. But what extinguishes that joy? It's sin. Sin extinguishes it immediately. If you are not joyful, I guarantee there is sin in your life that is not dealt with. I guarantee it. Get to the root of it, rip it out by confessing it, and praise the Lord that he has forgiven you. That he has forgiven you. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And we rejoice at his word also. Psalm 119, 162. I rejoice at thy word as one who finds great spoil, because his word reveals him, reveals the truths of our great God. Now, the reality is, we don't rejoice in sin, right? If he says rejoice always, in a sense, we don't rejoice if I sin. Praise the Lord, I sin. No, we rejoice in the fact that he has forgiven us of our sin. We don't rejoice in evil happening. We rejoice that God turns evil to good. We rejoice in what God is doing, what we know he's doing. We rejoice in him. You see, joy is a fruit of a right relationship with Jesus. That's why when your heart is right, you're going to praise God, you're going to have joy. You're going to praise God and have joy. So the command is, keep on rejoicing at all times. The implication is, keep doing it. Keep doing it, believers. Now, if you're not joyful, one or more, or all of those things I mentioned earlier, are missing in your life. First of all, it could be because you don't know the Lord. You can't abide in Jesus if you don't have a relationship with him. Trust the Lord, be saved, and he'll give you joy. But maybe you've allowed sin to creep in. You're not abiding in him. You're not trusting in him. Situations, you're relying on your understanding. You're worried about them, concerned, rather than trusting in Jesus Christ. Maybe his word is not resting and abiding in your heart because everything else is in there. Push it out and allow God's word to abide in there. And maybe you are trusting him. Maybe you do have his word, but you're not joyful. Maybe you're not obeying him. There's an area in your life that you are not obeying. Because he says, if you do these things in this context, a real relationship with him, abiding in Jesus, it's so that his joy would be made full in you. Remember what David said? He understood that his consequences in his life were because of his sin. He understood it. And he asked God to restore the joy of his salvation. Turn to Psalm 51. You see, because if you're being spanked by God and you're not responding, now if you respond, the indication that you respond, you're going to have joy, by the way. But you're going to rejoice. Look at the Corinthians. When they had a worldly sorrow leads to death, godly sorrow leads to repentance, and there's joy. Psalm 51, this is after David's terrible sins, after having been convicted of it and actually responded in repenting. He says in verse 8, make me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, blot out my iniquities, create in me a clean heart. How many times have you prayed that? Clean my heart out, Lord God. He's confessed his sin, by the way. And renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from thy presence. Do not take thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. Sin removes joy. Confession and forgiveness restores it. So sadly, many people are not grounded in the character of Christ, are not willing to look at the great spoil and the wealth of his word to have joy, looking at Christ. We're to rejoice always. And when we obey, we're going to have joy. Psalm 32:10 again. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, loving kindness shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones, and shout for joy, you who are upright in heart. Rejoice always. You know, there are sad things that happen. There are difficult things that happen. But when we see them in the perspective of our Savior Jesus Christ, we see them in the perspective of his forgiveness of us. We see them in the perspective of what he is doing. We see them in the perspective that he's going to make things right. We have joy. because our eyes are no longer on us, they're on Him as we abide in Him. So that's the first of the three interrelated commands. But notice there's more. Verse 16, rejoice, back in 1 Thessalonians. Rejoice always. Second command, verse 17, pray without ceasing. Now again, it is a Greek verb. It's you all continually, habitually pray unceasingly. Pray without ceasing. Means continually. This is God's will for our inner life. Joy, because we're walking with the Lord. We're right with Him. Prayer, as we'll see, which indicates a dependence on Him. Pray without ceasing, you all. And prayer is simply communication with the living God. God communicates with us through His Word. We communicate with Him in prayer. We have the privilege of bringing our prayers before the throne of grace. We have the privilege because Jesus Christ has blotted out our sins. He has saved us from our sins. Our sins have been blotted out. We can go before God now because we are righteous in Jesus. So we are to pray all the time. Well, what does that mean? How can we be here if we're praying all the time? How can I be preaching if I'm to pray all the time? What does he mean by that? Does he mean we are to be continually on our knees in our closet? Certainly we need to walk. Certainly we need to talk to people. What does he mean? What this verse means is that we are to be in a continual open conversation with the Lord in our hearts. By the way, I'm praying while I'm preaching. Lord, help me. Continually praying. Prayer is to be a way of life. It's like breathing. Now, we all fall short, but yet we must still realize we are commanded to pray continually. It means we are in recognition that we have a relationship with the living God. When we are not praying, we are not recognizing Him in our lives. We really aren't. Pray without ceasing. And if you look at the Apostle Paul, just read the beginning of just about every one of his epistles, he is praying all the time. And he also is humbly asking the body to pray for him. Many examples of that. I'll read a couple here. In Romans chapter 15, verse 30, I'll read this for you. Now I urge you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. That I may be delivered from those who are disobedient in Judea, and my service in Jerusalem might prove acceptable to the saints. He didn't presume anything. He needed God to intervene. Pray for me in that. Ephesians chapter 6:19, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador, he talks about. 2 Thessalonians 3:11, for finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord might spread and be glorified just as it did also with you, and that we may be delivered from perverse and evil men, for not all have faith. Paul prayed for them, and he asked for prayer. He's a man of prayer. And inspired by the Spirit, he says, pray without ceasing. Now, why do we need to pray if God knows what we pray before we pray? He knows that, right? He knows what we're thinking. Because it's a real relationship, first of all. It's a real relationship. He may know what we're going to pray, but we relate with Him. We relate with a person, with the person of the living God. And within that, it also reveals dependence. We're to pray without ceasing. Turn to Philippians chapter 4, because this is a great passage concerning prayer. It's very helpful to us. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Very familiar passage, but it's important for us to know. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, that's not nothing, that's everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Everything. We're to continually pray about everything. We're to be in a constant relationship with the Lord, talking to Him about everything in our lives. That's a real relationship. If you have a relationship with a spouse and you don't talk to them, you don't have a relationship. Something is in the way. Sin. And so if we don't talk to the Lord, guess what's in the way? Sin. But if we are arrogant enough to talk to Him and not confess our sin, the Lord doesn't hear. We can come before a gracious God who loves you so much, who gave His Son for you. He died in our place. Prayer to a God whom we can boldly come before His throne, receive mercy and find grace in time of need. One who can empathize and sympathize with our weaknesses, having become like us, but yet without sin. He's a good God, and He loves us. Pray all the time without ceasing. Now keep your fingers in Philippians 4 because it gives us some insight into how we pray. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Prayer and supplication. Prayer speaks of prayer in general. Supplication speaks of humility, a humble petition. There's humility. Do we just throw out a laundry list of things to God? No, we humbly come before Him. Pray humbly. It reveals dependence on the Lord. If you're not praying, you're not dependent on the Lord. And you're not abiding in Him, I guarantee that. We see in 1 Peter, we need to humble ourselves before His mighty hand, before we cast our cares. And we do so by casting that. But even in Philippians 4, notice it is unceasing. And it also is with thanksgiving. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Now, we're going to get to thanksgiving in a minute in our passage. So let's just go past that in Philippians. We're going to see that in a minute. In everything, give thanks. But notice, we are to be making our requests known to God. Let your requests be made known to God. Lord God, I'm concerned about this. Help me see it rightly. Intervene, Lord God, on our behalf. Do what is right, Lord Jesus. Please intervene. Help. Lord, I don't know what to do. Help me understand what your will is. Lord, my heart is so broken over this. Help me see things rightly. Encourage me, Lord, in your word. Lord God, I can't do this. Help me share your word in a manner that is going to glorify you. I can't do it. Lord, thank you that you will do so because you're faithful, because you're good. Unceasing prayer, making your requests known to God. You know, the eyes of the Lord look to and fro that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. 2 Chronicles 16:9. Instead of worrying and whatever it might be, pray unceasingly. Make your request known in a humble manner. In the context, as we will see, of thankfulness. Lord, I thank you for your love and your faithfulness. Thank you for your son Jesus, for saving my soul. Thank you for looking upon my situation. Help me, protect me, I'm powerless. Come to my aid, Lord God, help me understand what to do. Help me respond rightly, Lord God. Help me speak in the right way. Put a guard over my mouth, Lord God. Help me glorify you in these circumstances. Lord, I don't know how to do this. Help me do my work heartily unto you, Lord God. Help me with this situation. There's a real relationship going on continually. So how's your prayer life? Do you pray continually? Do you have a running conversation? I'm not trying to tell you to make it up. It's a real relationship. When you are thinking about the things of Christ, you're focused on Him, you're rejoicing in Him, you're going to want to talk to Him. You're going to want to talk to Him. It is innate to a new relationship with Him and a real relationship. Do you have a running conversation, sharing everything with Him? Start now. Pray without ceasing. It's a command. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. Greg's message today is from his series in the book of 1 Thessalonians. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up today's broadcast, give me some help understanding how I get my prayer life in line with what Scripture teaches.
Well, Dave, simply, we're commanded to pray without ceasing. And indeed, besides the grand fact and the great privilege that we have to commune with the living God in prayer, prayer demonstrates a dependence on Him. So when you wake up, start talking to the Lord and keep talking to Him until you lie down. We're to pray without ceasing. So then, how you doing? Are you continually acknowledging your dependence on Him? How's your prayer life? Do you pray continually? Do you have a running conversation with the Lord? Well, today's the day to start. And because in Christ we have a relationship with the living God, we can pray without ceasing.
As we close today's broadcast, here's a special message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hello, everyone. This is Greg Lundstedt. Now, you may or may not realize that Equipping the Saints is a listener-supported broadcast, and we cannot continue on the air in your local area apart from the Lord's provision for the broadcast through listeners like you. Therefore, would you prayerfully consider partnering with us in this vital ministry of getting out His Word with your prayers and financial support? We appreciate you all and hope to hear from you soon.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to contact Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 1-800-596-9144, or at etsradio.org. Well, I hope you'll make plans to join us again next time for another edition of Equipping the Saints.